So what is it about the F-35 that makes it different? The very first thing is that the airplane is designed to come from anywhere, and that really drives the structural strategy of the program for the structural engineers in here. And by the way, I'll give a quick advertisement for DSTO and CSIRO and the other knowledge institutions here in Australia have all played a significant role in the program, particularly in the area of understanding UV and corrosion for the airplanes that will be in a high UV area. But we got to come from anywhere. So that means come from a land base if you're an Air Force conventional type airplane, come from a large ship with catapults and arresting gear if you're a Navy jet, come from a small ship, an L-class carrier, or one of the international carriers with the F-35B model. Once you get the structural and the systems requirements down to be optimized for those operating environments, everything else on the airplane is essentially the same. The three men that are in those, or three men and women that are in those three airplanes right there, don't know which airplane they're in. They're exactly identical in the cockpit, the propulsion system's the same, the displays are the same, the sensors are the same. We actually can test the sensors on the airplane using any one of the three because they're identical. Second point is it has to be able to carry a large internal payload. It not only brings weapons internal to the weapons bay, but we bring what you've historically thought of as external fuel inside the airplane. One of the most challenging design features of a platform like this is to design a fighter around a big hole. And for the structural engineers in the room, you can understand the challenge of doing that. Covert carriage and long range are two of the requirements that we have for the airplane. The third one is flexibility. If I look at that internal load, that's basically 5,200 pounds of internal weapons. And if you talk to any of the current operators of F-18s or F-16s, they seldom carry an external load of that amount because of the requirement to put other things on pylons, like fuel tanks and sensor pods and things like that. But if I am no longer in the high-threat environment, I don't require the signature reduction. And we have external stations under both wings. We have an external station on the center line. We can load the airplane up pretty heavily for, you know, the truck mode. And if we really want to get into an air-to-air mode, the airplane can carry an awful lot of air-to-air missiles. Now, in the last two modes, the airplane is no longer stealthy, which is sort of the key to fourth-gen airplanes, where they have to carry everything externally. Therefore, it's not possible to really retrofit the low observability features of an airplane like the F-35 on a current generation airplane. Perhaps one of the biggest challenges, and this is an area that I think we probably have had the biggest breakthrough in, is two of the three airplanes have to go to sea. We no longer can maintain what has been viewed as a fragile technology like stealth or low observability inside a hermetically sealed hangar or a temperature controlled hangar. You have to actually be at sea. This has caused us, and if you look at the airplane up on the starboard bow, you can kind of see what it's like out there on the ship. This has driven us to a whole new way of thinking about low observability. It drives us into a new manufacturing philosophy, which is part of the recapitalization of the aerospace industry with great companies like Miranda and others. They now have to hold much tighter tolerances in the work that they deliver to us. If we can basically assemble the airplane without the normal steps and gaps and mismatches of manufacturing tolerances that build up, normally they show up at the surface of a platform. If we can get rid of those, we can, in essence, make the airplane stealthy without any real coatings on it, any real sophisticated coatings. We still do a nose-to-tail coating on the airplane. It's very much like the coating that you put on an F-18 or any other airplane for rain erosion, but it's one coating nose-to-tail. It's no longer a very, very sophisticated buildup of 8 or 9 layers of special coatings. And we've been able to do that with some very advanced composite technology that we're now doing. This airplane has 100% composite skins for the engineers in the crowd, manufacturing engineers. That allows us to put certain characteristics into the composite weave that historically we've had to put on as an application after the airplane's built. So we've been able to, in about 2004, we perfected this concept. It's actually a little side story. We got it from the yachting industry. If you look at composite weave, when you put the weave in, you come out, you can actually sort of see the weave, you know, in the finished product. That's not good because that's a reflection anywhere there's a surface discontinuity like that. So we went to the yachting industry and said, how do you make these mirror-finished composite hulls? And they talked about using a non-directional weave as the first layer that goes into the autoclave. And we've been able to take that non-directional weave and actually put some metallic capabilities into it. And that now becomes, when you take it out of the autoclave, becomes the surface of the skin. So most of the low observable characteristics of the airplane are built right into the surface of the composite, no longer applied on top. So that's how we did that. So what does that mean? These are the three airplanes. From where you're sitting, take what's called a CTOL, conventional takeoff and landing airplane. and put it on top of the STOVL, the shadow on the ground is essentially the same, within an inch or two, and that's basically with the horizontal tail surfaces. You can see the CV airplane has a bigger wing. It's actually quite a bit bigger. It's about 620 square feet, whereas the other one's about 460, so it's quite a bit bigger. The bigger wing allows us to slow the airplane down for landing, and that's really the only reason it's there. You don't want to have exotic methods of trying to slow the airplane down. For reliability reasons, you'd rather have just the bigger wing. It allows us to fly the Navy jet about 25 knots slower than the Air Force jet on landing, so we can come aboard the ship at a much more controlled speed. We do have bigger flight control surfaces. The Navy has some specific requirements for pop-up maneuvers when you're in the landing configuration and things like that that require bigger surfaces, and I'll talk more about that in a minute. Other than that, the airplanes are the same. The Air Force version in front has an embedded machine gun up in the upper left shoulder. You can see that bump there. The other two carry that piece of equipment in a missionized pod on the center line. The STOVL jet on the right has a lift fan. You can see sort of the swelling that comes behind the cockpit there, and that's a lift fan that allows us to augment the lift of the engine for the vertical landings. Now, if you look at the airplanes they're replacing on the left, and you look at the sensor capability of this airplane, it goes far beyond anything we've ever seen in a fighter before. We actually will be picking up, extending the eyes and ears of some of those command and control platforms on the right, particularly when it gets into contested or area denial type things. I put the circle around those three airplanes there because those are the three airplanes the U.S. Marine Corps is replacing with the F-35. And the Commandant of the Marine Corps testified in front of Congress last year that by replacing three type model series, where it takes seven individual crewmen to fly those three airplanes. All of them have separate training pipelines. Each airplane has a separate logistics pipeline. Each one has a separate training pipeline. In some cases, they're in separate bases just because they're different airplanes. By replacing those three airplanes with a single F-35, the Marine Corps expects to save $1 billion a year on infrastructure reduction costs. You don't see that show up in your cost per flying hour, but you'll see it as part of the total cost of ownership of the airplane.